Lesson this morning is Isaiah 65, verses 17 through 25. For I am about to create new heavens and a new earth. The former things shall not be remembered or come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I am creating, for I am about to create Jerusalem as a joy and its people as a delight. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and delight in my people. No more shall the sound of weeping be heard in it, or the cry of distress. No more shall there be in it an infant that lives but a few days, or an old person who does not live out a lifetime. For one who dies at 100 years will be considered a youth, and one who falls short of 100 will be considered accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For like the days of a tree shall the days of my people be, and my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain or bear children for calamity, for they shall be all, for their offspring shall be For they shall be offspring blessed by the Lord, and their descendants as well. Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox, but the serpent, its food, shall be dust. They shall not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Do you ever find yourself conflicted on how you view the world? As Christians, we are called to be people of hope. Yet, you know, there can be a thin line between being realistic and pessimistic. There can be a very thin line between hope and pie in the sky. I get so discouraged about government, both parties. But then again, when in history has the government ever really been about the people? I get discouraged with crime in all its forms, but since humanity's first disobedience of God, people have been hurting and stealing and killing and taking advantage of others. Since that first disobedience, it's always been, and until Jesus returns, it always will be. My heart breaks whenever I hear of one being stricken with life-debilitating or life-threatening illness. But those are part of the harsh realities of life. The list is endless. So we can find ourselves in a constant state of disappointment because it seems that nothing ever really changes, and there are few situations over which we have any real control. Or we can find ourselves callous. I mean, after all, there's nothing to be gained about worrying over things that we don't control. Our scripture lesson is post-Babylonian exile, but before the return to Jerusalem is complete. The prophet envisions Jerusalem, Zion, being recreated. Hear again the message of God that the prophet proclaimed. For I am about to create new heavens and a new earth. The former things shall not be remembered or come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I am creating, for I am about to create Jerusalem as a joy and its people as a delight. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and delight in my people. No more shall the sound of weeping be heard in it, or the cry of distress. No more shall there be in it an infant that lives but a few days, or an old person who does not live out a lifetime, for one who dies at 100 will be considered a youth, and one who falls short of 100 will be considered a curse. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For like the days of a tree shall the days of my people be, and my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain or bear children for calamity, for they shall be offspring blessed by the Lord and their descendants as well. Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox, but the serpent, its food, shall be dust. They shall not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, says the Lord. The prophet envisions the created order being restored. Much of what the prophet envisions being restored is a reversal of the curses that were the result of humanity's disobeying God, found in Genesis 3. But most of that prophecy has yet to occur. There is still tragedy and war and injustice. Yet God's word does not return void, or said another way, God's word does not go unfulfilled. So in many ways, we wait. But in what manner are we waiting? In many ways, we are like those released from exile. We are freed from the bondage of sin, yet we still continue to deal with the results of sin. According to Genesis 3, and I'm oversimplifying, I know, for the sake of time. But according to Genesis 3, all of the struggles and heartaches of life began when humanity disobeyed God. When humanity disobeyed God, sin entered, and with the entrance of sin came the negative results. Again, to oversimplify, life became difficult and tough because sin was introduced into human existence. Yet the prophet envisions all of creation being restored to that of the Garden of Eden prior to humanity's disobedience. Now, granted, that prophecy has not been fulfilled, as anyone can see. We still deal with the negative results of sin. But because of the atoning work of Jesus on the cross, individually, we experience the restoration of our relationship with God. God, through Isaiah, declared, "The former things shall not be remembered or come to mind." God declared through Jeremiah, "No longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, 'Know the Lord,' for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, saith the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more." The psalmist declared, "As far as the east is from the west, so far he removes our transgressions from us." Paul declared, "If anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new." I'm so glad that for all who place their faith and trust in Jesus, our sins are not only forgiven, but God chooses to forget. You know, so many of us, as we get older, we lament our forgetfulness, but God chooses to forget our sins, and we are changed persons. The recreation of the world is still in process, and it's not going to be complete until Jesus returns, but Jesus eagerly awaits the opportunity of recreating each individual who will place their trust and faith in Him. I'd ask us all to consider something this morning. You know, often when we refuse to attempt to make a change in our life that we know needs changing, it may be stopping something negative or beginning something positive. We repeat an old saying or one similar to it. "Well, John, you know, a leopard can't change its spots." Now, we may do so because in reality, we don't want to make the change. "I really don't want to stop whatever it is I need to stop, or I really don't want to start whatever it is I need to start, but I'm not going to get in God's face, you know, and refuse to do what I feel like God's telling me to. I don't have that kind of courage. I'm not going to get in God's face and do that, but, you know, a leper can't change its spots." Some folks call that an excuse. "I really don't want to change, but I'm not going to get in God's face." But you know, a leper can't change its spots. Or we may give up out of frustration. We've tried to stop whatever it is we need to stop, or we've tried to start whatever it is we need to start, and we get frustrated, and so the only way we can deal with it is to basically say, "Well, it can't be done, because after all, you know, a leopard can't change its spots." That's true. The leopard can't. But God can. The leopard can't. I can't. But God can. Is it possible that we have stifled God's complete recreation of us to be all that God has created us to be because there's something we refuse to surrender to God? And therefore, until I surrender it to God, God's not going to force God's self on me. Until I surrender it to God, God's not changing my spots. And I can't change my spots. But if I give it to God, if I surrender to God, even though it may be a process and it may take time, God can change those spots. I encourage you this morning to take an inventory of yourself between you and Jesus and surrender those areas to Jesus so that all of the old can pass away and all of the new that Christ has in store for us can come. You know, I'm so glad that individually God forgives and forgets the sins of all who place their trust and faith in Jesus. I'm so glad that people can change and people do change through the power of God. I'm so glad that God is still recreating us daily as we surrender those places to Him. But though we are thankful for the individual restored relationship with God through Jesus Christ, we still long for the restoration of all creation, do we not? Did you hear echoes of another passage as we read the scripture lesson? The beginning of our scripture lesson said, God says through Isaiah, "For I am about to create new heavens and a new earth. The former things shall not be remembered or come to mind." And then as we read, he goes on to enumerate those things. Around 600 years later, there'd be another exile who would see a vision and hear a promise. In Revelation 21, the next to the last chapter in the last book of the Bible, John records a vision in which he describes it like this. "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them. They will be His people, and God Himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away.' And the one who was seated on the throne said, 'See, I am making all things new.' Also he said, 'Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true.' Then he said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life. Those who conquer will inherit these things, and I will be their God, and they will be my children.'" God's word will be fulfilled. Jesus has promised to return, and when He returns, the entire created order will be restored. All the negatives of sin will be eradicated. Sin itself will be destroyed. But we're not quite there. We're not quite there. We live in what some theologians call the between time. All who have surrendered and trusted in obedience to Jesus are on our way, or on the way as we are being created daily into the person God says we can be. And when Jesus returns, all of the unfairness of life, all of the heartache of life, all of the grief in life, all of the struggles of life will be forgotten as we will celebrate and worship in the full and glorious presence of our Lord and Savior. Let us pray. Our most gracious and loving Lord, help us to not be callous people, but in seeing the realities of life, may we always look with hope to You. Thank You that whatever it is in each of our lives that holds us back from being that complete recreation, that whatever holds us back from being that complete person You say we can be, You can change those places in our lives if we will but surrender those to You. You know what that is for each of us. And Lord, that's only between you and each of us. But Lord, wherever that those places are in our lives, give us the spirit and the courage and the humility to surrender those places to you, that we might become more like you than we've ever been. And Lord, we get frustrated with this world, we have to confess. And in that frustration, sometimes, if we're not careful, it's easy to become calloused or jaded. But Lord, remind us that you do change people. That there is no such thing as a hopeless person, but you do change people. And Lord, one day you've made a promise, and if you make a promise, you don't break it. One day you are coming back and you're making everything right. So Lord, may we live always in confidence and hope and assurance that you're daily changing persons. And in your time, you will come and make everything right. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' most holy name. Amen. This morning, our altar is open as always. If you feel led to come and pray for any reason, please come as we sing our hymn.